Let us pray. Lord God, at the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the waters. So send your Spirit to us now to open our hearts and minds to receive the recreating power of your word. Through Christ, amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from Genesis 1, 1-2, 4a. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God sent them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Can I invite all the children up, please? Hi. Got lots of room. Come on up. Oops, second thoughts. Good morning, good morning. When I saw the title of this message today, God Speaks, I was so excited. I was supposed to do next week, but I think that I got this one because you know what? I like to talk a lot. Do you guys talk a lot? I talk a lot. I talk at home. I talk at school all day long. And you know who my favorite person to talk to is? Well, aside from God, sorry. Whoops. My second favorite person to talk to is myself. Love to talk to myself. And I realize I love to talk to myself because when I talk at home to random teenagers to clean their room, they don't always listen. And when I talk to a class, they don't always listen. That's why when I read the scripture message this morning, I said, wow. God, I've always known God is the most powerful, but could you imagine, Emily, that God is so powerful that when he talks, things happen? You know, they didn't say, listen, you know, I'm a little busy right now, Lord. I can't make the stars. I can't make some fish right now. It happened. Almost like you snap your fingers. Can you imagine if you spoke and it happened? Wow, I cannot imagine that. So when I read this first story in the Bible, it sets God, it shows us the power of God. You talk and it happens. It's amazing. And we're going to start listening. And if you listen carefully in Sunday school, because you're going to talk about it in Sunday school, and Sunday after Sunday, God doesn't only talk to create the world, he's going to talk to people too. People! Now, I would love to tell you that when God talks to people, they do this and they listen. But sometimes you're going to hear stories about people who God spoke to and they may not have listened so quickly. Because we're human, aren't we? And it's not like we're going to listen all the time. But I think we can learn from this first story in the Bible that God is powerful. And if you don't listen the first time, he's not going to give up. You're going to hear it a second time and a third time. Think about those times when you're praying and you hear the voice of God telling you to do something. Remember how powerful God is and try very hard to be that creation story and to listen and to follow through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are all powerful. You are always in control and able to create things with a word. Lord, help us to trust in that power. Lord, help us to be able to act when you speak and to always remember that you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So good to see so many of our friends back this week with school starting and everything. He's excited for the nursery too. Maybe you all would be. Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you've been like me over the last couple of weeks, my eyes have been glued to the Weather Channel. There's something about these awesome, powerful storms that just intrigues me to no end. There's one single biggest killer in a hurricane, the thing that takes the life of the most people. It's not the wind and the damage that's done by the wind, and it's not the rain that falls. It's this thing called storm surge, where the ocean all of a sudden goes over the land in like amounts of 4 feet or more, and it happens so quickly that people are not able to escape. The water takes something that is orderly, houses, streets, well-ordered lives, and creates instant chaos. And for millions of people in Texas and in Florida and probably up into Georgia, they will have evacuated to come back to find that their lives have basically been destroyed, at least their houses and their sense of livelihood, businesses, all of these kinds of things. What was well-ordered becomes chaos in an instant. Of course, we know this closer to home from Superstorm Sandy. There are churches in upstate New York that are still recovering from Irene, that hurricane that came through. Some of you, a couple of summers ago, I know, were up in the Prattsville area. The Schoharie River flooded its banks. Feet of mud in churches. And they continue to work to try to rehab that. So it's a really terrible kind of thing, which makes our creation story so wonderful, because it's really a story of God reversing that, taking what is chaotic and bringing order to the situation. It's God seeing the waters, right? And in verse 2, the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And then God begins to bring order to this chaotic, watery mass. And it's a very orderly story. It's poetic in many ways. In the first 3 days of creation, God builds a house. And in the next 3 days of creation, God populates the house. Let's see if we can remember from our reading this morning and from our Sunday school lessons the 6 days. On day one, God says what? Let there be light. And there was. There's light and there's darkness. That's the first day. The second day, see, Cheryl is opening her Bible just to make sure she's got it. On the second day, what happens? God says, we're going to separate the water above from the water below. And the water above is called sky, and the water below is called sea. So sky and sea. On the third day, what happens? God says, another separation, right? This time water is going to separate from dry ground, and the dry ground is called land, and the water is now called an ocean or a sea again. And so you have dry ground and ocean on the third day. All right. So on the fourth day, then, what happens? God takes the light and darkness and populates it with sun and moon and stars, the things that live in the light and in the darkness, if you will. On the fifth day, what happens? All right, so if on day two we had sky and water, then on day five we would have what populates sky and water? Birds and sea creatures, okay? And then on day six, if day three was separating water from dry ground, then on day six, something has to populate the dry ground, and what is that? Plants, creatures that crawl on the ground or perhaps walk upright, including us, right? We're day six. And then God looks back on everything that God has created and says what? It's very good. It's very good. And then God takes a nap on day seven because 6 days of work is very, very hard. Out of the chaos of the world comes an orderly creation. This is a different creation story, by the way, than what many of the Israelites' neighbors have. Most of those creation narratives involve creation sort of accidentally happening, something that happens as a function of a god dying or something. A god dies and falls to earth and things sprout up out of this. And well, the gods didn't really intend for people to happen, but the gods, hey, they find out that, hey, people are pretty good to be used as slaves to do their bidding. And so in most of those stories, the people are there to slavishly serve God. Whereas in our story, people serve a very different function. They are created intentionally by God in the image of God to be like God on the earth. People are given a couple of commandments here. The first one is, anyone remember? Be fruitful and multiply. Good, right? And second, fill the earth and take care of it, subdue it in our translation, but take care of it. Be a caretaker to the earth. So God has taken the chaos and has created an orderly creation out of it, spoken creation into being, if you will, by the word, and then says to the creatures that inhabit the earth, now take care of this. That's your job. Be fruitful, multiply, and take care of what you see all around you. In the other creation story in Genesis, when God shapes the people out of the mud and dirt and breathes the breath of life into them, God has them name the different creatures. Because everyone knows that if you give a name to something, you take better care of it than you would otherwise, right? That's why we name our children. And we name our pets. And sometimes we name our cars. The things that we name are the things that we take care of. But how well do we know that things sometimes that we take care of very well, we pass along to someone else, and they don't take care of it nearly as much as those who were the ones who named it? There's a lot of controversy politically today around climate change, with some saying that science points to humans having a role in climate change and others saying that no, humans have no role to play whatsoever in climate change. I'm not really interested in getting into a political conversation today, believe it or not, here in the context of our worship service. But regardless of whether you think humans have a role to play in climate change, There is one thing that you can't argue with, and that is humans have a role to play in the care of God's creation. It's like the first commandment. All of those other Ten Commandments that happen post-slavery for the Israelites, they all flow from this kind of fundamental thing that God created you, God loves you, God has given you this creation to play in, to have creative action in. Oh, and by the way, don't destroy it. Don't mess it up. But that's something that we're really good at as humans. But the very first call to humanity is to be caretakers of creation. I know that some of you enjoy planting things, caring for gardens and flowers. People who are really good at those things, much better than I could even possibly pretend to be, know some very good creation care things, and we would do well to learn from them because they know about sustainable farming. They know about using the plants themselves to fertilize the soil and letting things rest and lie fallow. They could say so much more about this than I possibly could from reading a couple of articles or books. Like I've said before, the only way my thumb is green is if it gets stuck in a can of paint. The Jacobson household is where plants go to die. But we could give some thought to this, friends. If God created us in God's image and God cares for creation as we hope God does, then that makes our call to care for creation as God does, to be thoughtful about the way that we use the resources that God has given us. It's something that each one of us is called to, and each one of us can play our own role in this, friends. There are some strands of Christianity that believe, well, it's all going to be destroyed anyway in the last days, and so who cares what happens to it? The answer to that question, by the way, can be found in Genesis 1. God cares what happens to it, and therefore we ought to care as well. A large part of that creation care is also caring for the creatures that are made in the image of God as well, especially when people are in dire need. And so, again, we will think together as a church about the best way to strategically assist our brothers and sisters that are living in places where there's going to be immense relief needed in terms of funding, in terms of hands-on volunteer help. We're going to have some opportunities this fall locally to do some of this work as well. And so I would invite you to prayerfully consider in what ways you can participate in creation care by caring for others of God's creatures, our fellow human beings. We have ample opportunity. And what God really asks of us is to focus less on ourselves and how we ourselves can get ahead, and instead think about the others. Think about the least. Think about the lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we marvel at your creation. And even when we are reminded of how powerful it can be, it should remind us, most Lord, of your call on our lives to care for it and to care for one another. Give us the wisdom and insight to do our best in caring for what we have been given and whom we have been given to care for. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.